From the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, president of Elevation XR and co-founder of Elevation Sky Park, Sean Ahern.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Lisa Ritchie. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Something that I said many years ago as a life coach to a would-be client many years ago has come up, interestingly enough, two or three times in conversations just this week. And normally when something like that happens, I usually make it the monologue for the coming Monday, or it's parts of it find its way in because it's relevant usually. And so it's interesting how that happens. Now, I couldn't find any relevance to what I couldn't make the connection to what was coming up this week in conversation to what our show is about today. With our guest and with entertainment as we're going to be talking about it, which is fascinating and exciting. Just couldn't see the connection to why I would bring up this phrase. I made the connection to why it came up, but not for the monologue until I got to speaking with our guest today. And he said something that reminded me of that conversation. And I thought, oh, now this is interesting. So you all can be the judge, but let me just share what that conversation was and see where I'm finding a connection that could inspire the future of entertainment with technology and inspired our title of the episode. So after a workshop, I had done a workshop attendee came up to me and said she wanted to work with me as a private life coaching and have sessions with me. And I said, great, what are you looking to work on and with and about and why me and why now and all that? And the things she said were this. She said, I like how you look confident. I like how you present. I like how you stand in front of a group and share. And I want to learn how to do that. And I said, if you want to learn how to do those things, I could teach you, but I'm not interested in being your life coach for that. There are many people, and I can refer you to them, who do a great job at that. And she looked so sad and forlorn. And I said, what I would like to support you in doing is for you to find your confidence inside of you, for you to find your reason for standing up in front of people and speaking, and for you to find what it is that you have to say to those people and to the world. And the rest will either follow suit, or you can learn along the way, or you can have somebody else teach you, or may come up in conversation with me and working with me. But the stuff that's important is what's in your heart and what's really wanting to come out. And as I thought about the title that Mark came up with, Elevate Your Existence, Immerse Yourself in the Extraordinary, for this episode, I thought, that's it. Technology is going to be amazing, and it's already here, and there's more, and I look forward to having that conversation. The stuff of why that entertainment is there, or why we're going to go to be entertained, and what it means to us, is the stuff that's going to be the most important, I think, of all.
Wow, this is an important show, an important time. You know, Filippo, and we've obviously been involved in Dome Fest West and a lot of interviews, and you know, we've had a number of guests in our ecosystem on life changes as we've explored this evolution. Sean is a pioneer in the space as well, and talk about authenticity, and he's been a champion of the Dome format, of understanding its impact, of understanding what it means to community, but also a champion of bringing communities together with his story as it relates to Harmony. And I'll let you have that conversation with him. But I'm excited to have him on. There's some fresh new momentum in the entire space, and we're very excited with what's to come.
And I felt that, Mark. That's what inspired the monologue, is the conversation we were having, and his why for doing things, and his interests, and the kind of things he wants to create. And it was coming out in just his persona and conversation.
Well, that's very much his why. It's not just a means of selling a product and making a dollar. It's a life path, I would say. It's a passion.
And so also the things are the things, and they're absolutely amazing. And then to bring in, like you say, the passion and that frequency, the energies, and all of that, and the intentions.
Well, we're in this age of tech and the confusion of, is AI going to take, you know, jobs, and the leave your life behind for an imaginary VR voyage and things like that. What we're going to be talking about tonight is leveraging the technology, but really advocating for humans and connection and togetherness and community. Actually maybe community and joy and you know, some things that we need a little bit more of.
A lot of things we need more of, and a lot of. Elevate your existence. Immerse yourself in the extraordinary. This is our episode 856. We're featuring interview guest, president of Elevation XR and co-founder of Elevation Sky Park SF and Wisdom LA. We've got Sean G. Ahern on the show. Sean, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, it's great to be here, guys. What a setup. Thanks a lot. Proud to be show 856. That's a very special number.
It is indeed. Well, you're a very special guest. And
longevity.
And,
yes.
And this is a very special time, as Mark said. And it seems like so much is converging with not only the technology, but people, especially having had happened to them what happened between the pandemic period and all that's going on in the world right now, like everything's coming together that something great has to happen. And here you are.
Here we are. We have something great happening. That's right. We're going along with that flow for sure. Yeah. Yeah, as you guys said, you mentioned, yeah, we have a big project going. I don't know if we want to delve right into that, or do you have an initial salvo, Filippo, that you want to touch on? Or
I do. And so, like I said, how you inspired the monologue is that your reasons why. So let's a little less esoteric. Let's start with technically, you come from a world where you have been touched by and touched by so much greatness, music, artists, and all of that. Just tell us a little bit about that background first.
Yeah, it starts with a background, doesn't it? I was fortunate enough at a very young age, inspired by music, and I got to work with some of my, raised in Southern California in the 70s and 80s, and I got to work with a bunch of my heroes, you know, the bands, the vinyl I loved to play, the bands I loved, Supertramp and Zappa Band, and did a stint living with the drummer of Black Sabbath, and worked with Alvin Lee and Cream, and on and on and on. I worked with all these guys. I used to just, you know, have posters on the wall, like literally, you know. So I had a fascinating experience there. But what I realized is that the bar of creativity and why these guys are so well known and why they're so famous or established is because they were all doing it with incredible passion. These guys were serious, and women too, were serious musicians, very committed. And I realized to separate that from the casual guy, the commercial one, the pop artist. These guys were deeply committed to a life's path, and that really inspired me. And once you get touched with that, it's very difficult to go back. When you get hit with authenticity and you get hit with organic passion, you really don't have, you can't taste anything else but that. nothing else tastes sweet except for a high bar of authenticity. And I'd say both, you know, spiritual and professional purpose. So mm-hmm. with that bar set high, it inspired me to always do things, at least with my art and professional, you know, do things great or don't do them at all, really. And great just means follow your heart and do it with passion. You know, it's not, so I think that's a pretty good little setup of the background of how we got to where we are now. Any more to that you'd like me to add?
I'm visualizing some of these artists that could work with anyone that had your abilities but the guy, you, who has their poster on the wall, that's the guy you want.
Right. That's, isn't it funny? That is the guy you want.
People right.
Want, some people say, how did you get this job in your early 20s? Because I had the poster on the wall. I had the vinyl, and these guys hit some rough patches, and business is fickle. They move on. They're not selling as many records. They had a personal problem, alcohol problem, drug. They had a problem, and nobody cared anymore. But who cared? The hardcore fan. Me. I cared. And so that's how I got the gig in my early 20s. Was I was an authentic fan. I wasn't just a trendy fan or a record label agent. Well, you're not earning the earnings anymore. We're going to drop you. That's the phrase they use. Your label drops you, like literally drops you in the garbage can.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys had been dropped, and I came by and dusted them off and said, get up, man. You know, you're Bill Ward. You're the drummer of Black Sabbath, or you're Roger Hodgson. You're the singer of Supertramp. Like, come on, let's go. You know, and they needed that spark. And sometimes that comes from youth as much as, you know, wise elders or guys in suit at record labels. It comes from a younger guy saying, no, you're a hero. Let's go. And reminding them of how talented and powerful they were as artists.
You know, Sean, it seems like entertainment has hit a rough patch.
Yeah.
And here you are again saying, come on, entertainment. Let's go. You're a star. You've got
to entertain.
Right. Let's do what you're actually here to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we know, entertainment has many, you know, there's entertainment, outertainment, entertainment, transformational, edutainment. We want to do all those things. And today's entertainment really almost like it just passes the time and gives people a quick high, sugar high, and then they move on. We're trying to really hit entertainment on all of the interpretations and meanings, both literal and otherwise, of what it means to be entertained. It's not to just have sparkly objects in front of your eyes that temporarily flare up and then go away. It's a longer lasting form of entertainment, and to come out of the experience a little bit better than you went into it, not burned out with a hangover, if you will. Wow. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's sort of what we're trying to achieve with this new form of entertainment that we're crafting.
So what does this new form of entertainment actually entail? We'll get into the meat of it as far as the heart of it, but what is it? What does it look like? What can we expect?
I think it's taking, well, you know, maybe it's to complete my story too. You know, working with artists and doing music and festivals and all the things you do, I started to get a little bit, I'm gonna say bored, but I've done it so many hundreds and hundreds of concerts where you stand there, the band performs, the audience watches, the producers produce, and everybody claps at the end. There's an encore and everybody goes home. I was kind of feeling like, yeah, God, I've done this for a lot. I've done it in bars. I've done it on stages with 30,000 people there. And it's kind of played its course. So what is the next level of way to be entertained? And is there a way to energize these people? Like, why is Burning Man so popular and some of these other things? It's Burning Man week this week, because it's an immersive, the attendee, the audience, the musician, the producers, the garbage truck driver, they're all the same. Everybody's on a level playing field and they're all interacting and working together. And after having been to, you know, many shows and 15 Burning Mans, all that, I realized, you know, that's the spark that makes it really interesting. And when everybody is integrated in that divide between entertainer, producer, audience, music, technology, when that all starts to come down and you all start to perform as one, each equally important to the other, that gets pretty exciting. There's no show without an audience. There's no audience without a band, and there's no band and audience without producers. When you start putting that all together on equal footing and everything starts to look like a Fellini movie, you start to realize that's really exciting. That's a really interesting way to be entertained, when everything is working together, whether it's in complete, you know, synchronization or harmony or not, that's to be determined. But the possibility for complete immersion and integration of music, art, sound, technology, and purpose. When they're all there, the elements are in the room, it makes for a much more exciting show than standing there and clapping for a band and drinking your beer and holding your lighter in the air. We've done that, been there. You know what I mean? Is that
and you mentioned a harmony. Mark yes. mentioned harmony too. Let's talk about harmony. Yes.
Yeah, harmony was the bridging gap between the old world for my in my life, between being a music producer, going on the road, doing shows, sending around demo tapes, trying to get bands signed, booking gigs. I did all that stuff, printing t-shirts, driving the bus. I did it all. And then I realized, there's got to be an easier way. What's something that brings, where does everybody want to go? Well, they want to go to the festival. They want to go, that's the job I should be. I should be a festival producer. Then everybody's coming to me. I'm fielding the calls. I'm the air traffic control and the curator. Rather than me trying to get in the door, let's try to keep people out of the door a little bit, have the flow going the other way. Like, we only have a limited amount of tickets and a limited amount of people to get in. So I kind of turned it around and said, I think festival production could be interesting because now you're best of both worlds. You're getting the excitement of the show and the bands and the music and the art, but you're kind of the curator also. So I did that for about 15 years as a festival producer of Harmony Festival. It was one of the key events I did. That was a post-Woodstock predecessor of all the festivals that you know today, Lightning in a Bottle, Coachella. All those started after Harmony Festival, which was in Santa Rosa, Northern California. That started in 1978 and went all the way through to 2012. So that was a long run. I only did the last 12 years of it, but that was the middle ground between a lot of the earlier music stuff that you might recognize, bands, festival music, art, and the transition to the transformational festival and some of the hundreds of festivals we know today incorporated a lot of things that were essential to Harmony Festival for decades.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was on that, the bridge to where we are today, as I was on that stage one day clapping for, can't remember if it was Lauryn Hill or Primus or someone like that, big band, everything's happening, big crowd. I looked out across the crowd and I saw these geodesic domes, yurts, and teepees that used to rim the back perimeter of our festival. I go, God, it's such a shame we have to tear those down. They're so amazing. Everybody loves the geodesic domes, mm-hmm. God, couldn't we do something with those? And I started thinking, yeah, maybe there's a technology coming where these domes and spheres are going to come alive. And we're not just using them for yoga classes and workshops and late night DJs with a laser beam inside. Maybe there's something more to it. And I took that thought away and started casually looking around and realized that the evolution of the geodesic dome and the spheres and planetariums was starting to happen. I thought, that's a full experience. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Now you've got band, audience, crowd, music, artists, visualists, technology, all working together to create something kind of brand new that's never been done before. Maybe there's a career path in that. And as life sometimes works out, something, you put that thought out. Sure enough, next offers came. These guys wanted to get together and start revolutionizing what was known as the planetarium circuit or the geodesic dome circuit and start to create musical experiences and yoga classes, workshops, all that inside of the dome. I said, hey, I'm a guy for that job. I've kind of been doing that already. I just didn't know the technology existed. And little did I know that with the advent of modern projection mapping and lasers, projector technology and servers and media and software programs like Unreal Engine and Unity, all these things were allowing the practicality to create immersive shows inside a dome that also had a human element. Wasn't just a deep space movie that you watch with your kid in a planetarium. You could actually recreate a concert-like experience in them. And that's what spurred me on to pursuing this and getting, being one of the pioneers in that field.
So for those people who haven't experienced a geodesic dome and they're trying to visualize this, and I also understand that there are a couple components here. There's the actual being there live, and then there's potentially seeing it elsewhere or on glasses, right? So
yeah, correct.
What is the physical experience that people have?
Great. I'll use an interesting anecdote. Most people have been to a planetarium, right? You went there when you were a kid with your school or something like that. You went to a planetarium, you saw I would say, you know, what, 70, 80% of people have been to a planetarium, let's say. And you had your members. You think back, yeah, I remember when I went to a planetarium. It was really cool.
Yeah.
But as they say, you only go twice in life. You go once when you're a kid and once when you have a kid. In between, you just don't go.
Right.
Why is that? Why don't you? Even though it was memorable, it wasn't quite stirring enough to go back, although it had the potential to be. So imagine a planetarium whereby you're having your favorite music experience, whether that's a recreation of a classic rock show. Like, I'm really good at recreating classic Pink Floyd, Grateful Dead, Jimi Hendrix, Bob Marley shows, where you do the same set they played 40, 30, 50 years ago. You recreate the visuals and you put on a show with an all-star band recreating the music of your favorite artist, your favorite set from your favorite artist, right? That kind of experience can happen. Or else you can take it another way. Instead of staring up at the stars and in a scientific kind of mode, you can have a deep sound healing experience with amazing, impactful visuals where you're soaring through the cosmos. You have crystal bowls and bells, pillows, a sleeping bag on the floor and bean bags, and you're laying down under this amazing dome where you're having these incredible experiences of deep space and inner space and waves and dolphins and Amazon jungles around you as you're having an amazing crystal ball ceremony. That could also transpire. And then it could just be plain old fun. You got a slamming DJ, some cool psychedelic screensaver style visuals, and people are just throwing down a hard DJ set and you're dancing with 700 of your best friends, all in 360, and the DJ's in the middle of the room and you're having an amazing time with psychedelic visuals. That's another form of experience. So there's really, you can recreate all these different styles, work really well in the dome sphere format.
Wow. And I've experienced obviously a lot of that. And I can say that it's really an experience like we haven't had before.
Not really. No.
What about the people that might be listening that might say, well, it doesn't sound real though. You're not really in the forest.
Yeah. Great. Domes are really amazing. There's a guy called Buckminster Fuller who kind of pioneered the use of, even though there were ancient designs. So what is the first architectural, after the wheel and the column, you know what the first thing that they designed was? They wanted to put domes on top of churches. So domes became the de facto architect. If you could pull off a dome, you were now a sophisticated civilization. Oh. So if you go back to the Middle East, India, Persia, the first thing, Italy, Renaissance, the first thing they started to build was domes. Why? Why a dome? Because it captures the magnificence of the Holy Spirit is what they saw. And when you go into a church, most churches will have a dome on top. If you look very carefully, you'll see a cupola. They might call it a cupola. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's a dome structure. I would say most really moving, powerful churches have a cupola or a dome cap on top. Did you know that?
I did not.
Why? Because it captures the magnificence of the heavens. Wow. Right? And it makes you feel like you're back in a womb, in a cave. Probably our first spiritual or conscious experience that separated us from the rest of the planet was we went into a cave. We held up a flame and we painted art on the ceiling, and the ceiling was like a dome, a cave. Or you were born and you're birthed in your mother's womb. The first conscious experience you probably had was being engulfed in a womb, which is not unlike a dome. This is why they're so powerful, that you go inside a dome and you can suspend your disbelief, meaning, well, you know, it's not Pink Floyd or Jimi Hendrix or the Amazon, but it feels like it. It senses like it, and everyone else around you believes that it is. So the disbelief is suspended and allows your imagination and your conscious affirmation to flow. And for all intents and purposes, you are where you believe to be. And it is Pink Floyd. It is Jimi Hendrix reincarnated. It is a deep sailing through a beautiful wave breaking on the beach and Maui, or a deep jungle in the Amazon. It really is. And you have no reason to contest that, because everything is so perfect around you that your mind buys into this experience. You suspend disbelief and you can have an amazing journey free of those obstructs or constructs that limit you to think it's not happening. There's a very esoteric explanation, but that's what I really believe to be the case. It's something like that. It's very transformational.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And
yeah,
with so many home entertainment centers or home theaters and big screen TVs and all that. It seemed like there's been a period of time, it seems like, that people like happy at home and they don't have to deal with other people cozy. And all that stuff. Getting people to come out is important for more than one reason, right?
Yes.
It's not just the experience of what you're creating, but what happens in the community. As a community, talk to us about that.
There you go. That's the most important thing. Let's say two ways to approach that. One, we create community. So you do want to get off your sofa and you want to go have a communal experience. So what's really important about our technology, unlike, you know, metaverse and goggles and glasses, and I think pretty semi-alienating headset experience where you're off in your own little trippy world and you're not relating to others. The Dome allows you to come with, you know, hundreds of your favorite people, favorite friends, having a shared experience, not unlike a hit movie used to be 10, 20, 30 years ago when theaters were packed and everybody's laughing and crying and jumping up and down and celebrating the shared experience of a movie. We can do that inside the Dome again. So one, you're having a shared experience. Two, there's no technical, doesn't take any technical capacity. All you have to do is open your heart a little bit, open your mind and walk on in. So there's no barrier to entry. You can go with your grandma or your kid or your family member who doesn't have any technical skills. You don't need no skills required. Just come, right? We take care of the skill part. So that's what I was saying, where the organic and the technical and the high tech integrate really smoothly to where you don't even notice all the amazing technology that went into getting you there. You just realize, oh, wow. And most people say, wow, when they walk in the door, it's a wow. Right. And I didn't need anything. So I think that's kind of cool. And you're with your friends, no technology required. And you're just kind of blown away. And I think the closest compare, most people know what the Sphere in Las Vegas is now, or they at least heard about it. And why it's so amazing, technological evolution, is they figured out how to do that for 18,000 people at a time. In a gigantic corporate thing that's still moving people artistically, but it's a big, it's much different. What we do, and we're built for community, other technologies, mass consumption, commercial stuff, which I'm not particularly interested in. You know, I'm interested in the community first part, and then the business model and the success of that will flow. If the community's happy, your business, it's like building a good restaurant. If the local neighbors like your food, the tourists will follow. And other people will come, but you better build it for the locals, for the community, and not be just dependent on, you know, bucket list and looky-loos who come one time and done. Our goal is to build something that you grab three of your friends and come back next weekend. That's what separates us from some of the other technology. I think it's just kind of been there, done that, checked it off, it was cool, what's next? You know, we want to be, we're what's next. Come again next weekend, as a matter of fact, and bring some friends. That's a differentiator for sure.
Is that part of your why?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, that's the why. It really is. I think ultimately, when I thought about why do I do this, you know, it's the reward and pleasure and accomplishment of bringing community together, enriching their lives, sharing that experience, and then passing them on to others so that they can spread the word. It's sort of like what a good church is supposed to do, or a good community group, or a good AA circle, or a men's group. You come together and you're proud of your participation, but more importantly, it's the elevation of the group, that our group's getting stronger. Or any one guy or any one woman who came in a little weak, a little chipped, a little damaged, they get affirmed by the group and they leave strong again, or at least they know where to come back for more juice and more energy if they need it. And I think that's why that's really what the human existence really about. It's not being a successful guy. It's being part of a successful community. And that's what I think modern America's got all wrong. We're putting all this emphasis on, is he a success? Is she a success? Well, does that mean how much money I have in my bank? Does that tell me if I'm a success or not? No. Did you help create a successful community? Do you live in a beautiful place where your neighbors and you get along? Do you travel the planet and meet wonderful people in different countries because you've been sharing ideas and education and love and beauty? That's what makes for a successful planet. It's not any one individual having a great experience at the expense of others, right? So there you go. The why is we make our community and our group a little bit better than before they came. They leave a little stronger and a little wiser, a little happier. I think that's the motivation.
You know, one of the fascinating things I found in our conversation was a statement you made about some of these artists that have achieved the A-list artists and are at a point in their career. And it would be interesting to ask them what that means to them. But I'm excited about what that might mean to us, and what you're creating is that they're saying they don't need or want to be the focal point.
Right. Yeah, good point. And they don't want to slug it out. And I mean, can you imagine, really think about what it's like to be on a tour bus for 70 days in a row with 12 guys or 12 women driving from city to city and doing one hit wonders, and try to have your game on perfectly every night and survive the temptations you're going to run into along the way and do that for 10, 20, 30 years? Can you imagine what that would do to most of us?
It drives you mad.
And so now, and there was no, now these guys are like, hey, when you were in the, you know, in your 20s and you were, you know, 40 years ago or whatever, in your 20s, that maybe sounded like fun. But nowadays you're like, you know what? I want to go one place and stay there. I want to be a resident, and I don't want to have all the pressure on me. I want to have the technology, the visuals, the visual art, the producer, the audience. The pressure or the fun, the grace is on all of us. Now, this is a team effort. And I can play my ass off. I maybe don't, you know, maybe I don't look like I did 40 years ago. I don't need to have a spotlight on me with all my shiny hair and shiny teeth, but I can still, I play better than ever. So this, I've been playing guitar for 40 years now, not five, you know, and now I've been playing for 40 years. My guitar playing's improved. My physical stature, my physical presence and all that may not be what it once was, but my guitar playing skills are awesome. So it actually allows these artists to rediscover a part of them that they were afraid was maybe, you know, passed them by or old hat or whatever. They don't have to be the star of the show. They have to be an amazing supporting part of it and shine when they're supposed to shine and lay back when they're supposed to lay back. And that allows them a whole new, and they can do a 3-day or in the, like the Grateful Dead, they're doing 30-day residencies in Vegas. These guys are 80 years old, 75, 80 years old. They can hole up in their little resort in Vegas and they can stay there and they can play, you know, 5 days a week for 4 or 6 weeks straight. That's a much better lifestyle than pounding it out in clubs and amphitheaters around the country.
Well, speaking of 80 years old, you said something to the effect of it's like the 1960s again.
Yeah.
And so when you say that, what are you saying about the 1960s and music, and what are you saying about today?
Yeah, great. We're kind of making up a new industry that doesn't really exist yet. Like there was no concert touring industry. Look at Woodstock. It was a bunch of guys building the stage by hand in a mud field, trying to figure out how to do it. Right. They didn't know how to do it. There was no industry for it. Right. There was no nothing. There was no legacy really that they had to make it up when they go. We're sort of in that area that we have to take these existing venues or existing planetariums, or we have to build our own. And in most cases, like in my San Francisco project, nothing like it exists. So I have to build it on the waterfront in San Francisco, literally by hand. I have to go in and pour the asphalt, pour the concrete, put in the turf, put in the sewer, build the platform, construct the dome, manufacture it, ship it, set it up, put all the technology and promote, market, and get the people there. I have to do that all ourselves. There's no touring marketplace for this yet. So we're creating a new industry. We're either refurbishing existing things or creating whole new entertainment centers from scratch. Right. And so that's kind of exciting. Like I'm building, I think, the first serious dome park ever constructed in Northern California. There is no template for it. We're just sort of doing it. You know, so that's exciting. It's challenging, but it's also exciting.
Yeah. Elevation. It's almost like going to space.
Yeah, Elevation. It's almost like these guys now who are building rocket ships, you know, trying to figure out how to get into outer space privately and commercially. I'm trying to figure out how to build new venues that borrow ideas from old ones but don't currently exist yet.
So that people can elevate their existence and immerse themselves in the extraordinary.
Yes, and we say our little theme song is look up, be transformed. And that means to get out of your looking down, both physically, metaphorically, whether you're looking at your phone or looking down the ground and saying, God, the world sucks right now, and you're staring at your concrete and shoes, were saying, no, look up, be transformed. And that's what the early people were saying when they built domes on top of cathedrals back in the 1300s. Look up, be transformed, because people didn't look up much. There weren't even skyscrapers in those days. So when you came to the church, the first thing you did is your eyes looked up and you went, oh, wow. And you looked up inside of the church. And that's sort of what we're kind of recreating. Yeah.
Sean, give us the best place for people to be able to learn about all this excitement.
Yeah, great. So you can go to elevationxr.com. Elevation with an X and R. XR means cross reality, extended reality. ElevationXR.com is a great site for all this info. And you could see what we're up to, what we've done, and what we're hoping to accomplish.
And of course, we have that link at the Life Changes show page for Sean Ahern. And you'll also see the Elevation Sky Park SF teaser there on the Life Changes show page. And of course, at the elevationxr.com website. Sean, what a pleasure and how exciting. It feels like this is like this is a teaser for
yes,
much
big
more
teaser.
Exciting things to come.
Yes, and in closing, two things you can do. Physically, go to the Sphere or Cosm or Meow Wolf or Area 15. These are other people who are helping to, this is not a one-man show. There's other amazing people doing great stuff out there who are creating this type of stuff. Or go watch Fellini's movie called 8 and a Half. if you want to just stay at home and you want to see what the hell are these guys doing, go watch Fellini's 8 and a Half, or any Fellini movie for that matter, but Fellini's 8 and a Half in particular, and you'll see what it's like to be pioneering a new industry. Yeah.
I don't know that everybody gets that reference, but
I just add
it's like it seems like there's a lot of chaos, but a movie yes. eventually gets made.
There is
and people enjoyed it.
A lot of chaos, but you know what? The movie starts from the like it's like Burning Man. The movie starts from the minute you get in your car until the minute you get home. That's the story. We're making this up, and it's there's some chaos, beautiful chaos, but in the end, it all works out just fine.
Well, I'm so glad that this worked out for us to be able to have you tonight here on the Life Changes show. Sean, what a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Great to be here. Keep up the great work. And I'm a fan. Thanks a lot for your great work. I know how dedicated you guys are. Thanks for doing it. Appreciate it.
Look forward to seeing you in a dome near all of us.
Yeah, come see the dome in San Francisco for the Super Bowl. It'll be fun.
Nice. All right. Okay.
Super Bowl in San Francisco this year. We'll be there.
Wow. Cool. All right, Sean.
Thank you. See you
Thank
guys.
You so much.
Cheers. Bye.
Wow. Mark, I've heard you talk about these experiences. I've gotten to experience them, but it just feels like there's a momentum here that even I can't get enough of like really what it's about.
It's turned the corner. The dome tech has been out there for different types of dome technologies have been out there for a long time, but I think consciousness wasn't ready. I think the audiences weren't ready to be surrounded. You know, you still have the kind of experiences when people go to the Sphere or Cosm or the James Hood shows, even that it's a little bit of an out of body experience, and it's different. Before we had the excuse of separation, you could watch something through a box, shut it off, and act like that was just their story. But when the whole sky changes, everything's a little bit different.
A couple of the experiences that I have, or a few that as we walk out, it seems like you want to talk to people. Like, did you feel the same thing? Did you see that? Or
it's a first person experience. It's absolutely right. It's not, it lands differently. And, you know, we could go down some rabbit holes there regarding the subconscious mind and how we exchange information or receive information, because our program is actually, you know, programmed to receive based on our reality. When the whole environment changes, when you're teleported into a new world, there's a moment of, what does this mean? Am I safe? Are we having fun? And then there you start to build bridges and generate empathy and do all sorts of great things.
Yeah. Does everybody feel the same way? And am I the only one? But obviously one gets the feeling from everybody else doing the wow or whatever it is. Like, oh yeah. Not the only one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the other thing. And Sean was talking about, you know, community and connection. And that's what we're all about, is the opportunity. You know, we're going to learn more about heart coherence and what really happens to our brains and our hearts when we're together, and getting back into that space. And the better you are at it, the more the technology falls away. So it's actually, it's you know, a highly technical environment, but that leaves for the story and the connection and the music.
Again, feels like a teaser, like a start, but now it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Anna. And as you know, I've been taking care of my mother for 3 years now, and it put my career on hold in order to help her. She can't get upstairs without my help, and she has been diagnosed with cancer. She doesn't want to do chemo and says she is ready to go home to God. I have been offered a modeling job in France and really want to do the work they have described. I have arranged for outside help to assist my mother, and she will be seen by caregivers at least 3 times a day. Would I be wrong if I choose to do the job I have been offered?
Dear Anna, you have done an awesome job of being there for your mother. You have been sharing so much love and have taken total responsibility for your mother's well-being. You've been devoted to her for 3 years, sacrificing your career and being her steady support. That is an enormous act of love, and it's clear you've already given her so much. However, your mother has expressed that she is ready to go home to God and doesn't want aggressive treatment. This suggests she is at a place of acceptance, and you arranging caregivers shows you're making sure she will not be abandoned or neglected if you go. The truth is, you are not wrong for wanting to take this opportunity. Your life also matters. Sometimes children think that they must be everything to a parent, but often what a parent most wants is to see their child thrive and happy. And since your mother loves you so much, she may actually find peace in knowing you are pursuing your dreams, even as she faces the end of her own journey. Now is the time to have a loving conversation, an honest conversation with your mother. Share the opportunity, your excitement, and your concern about leaving her. Ask her how she feels. She may surprise you by encouraging you to say yes to the job offer. Tell her about the caregiving plan you have arranged. 3 visits a day may be enough, but make sure there's a plan for emergency, nighttime needs, and emotional support. Hospice or palliative care could be worth exploring if she is open to it. And please give yourself permission to accept the job. Guilt often comes with these decisions. However, let's remember your love is not measured only by your physical presence. It is also in the years you've already given, the arrangements you're making, and the bond you share. You're balancing 2 truths. Your mother is nearing the end of her life, and you are still building yours. Both matter. However, choosing the modeling job is not abandoning her. It's choosing to love yourself and creating a better future for you. I believe your mother will be extremely happy for you and is grateful for all of your love and help you've given her. I look forward to hearing how your loving conversation with her gives you permission to do what is in your highest and best good.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And for our performance segment, we have a performer who is a singer and a songwriter, or first a songwriter and then a singer and a songwriter. I don't know. Lisa Ritchie, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Lisa, how'd you go from songwriter to singer to songwriter to singer?
Oh, man, back and forth. That's just the way. I guess that's the nature of it. I think I kind of started out as a songwriter, just like in my room. Yeah, I know. I don't know why I always add those qualities. Yeah, it's definitely started out as a songwriter and was in my room writing music and did that thing behind closed doors for like from the age of 10 really up until 20. And then had an opportunity to sing and be in front of people. And I think that identity shift was really hard for me to really fully understand. So I was still very much a songwriter, but I knew I had to perform for what I wanted to do. I had to perform my songs and I needed to start being like more of a singer. And when I moved out to California to pursue it further, the only things that would pay up front were the gigs where I was singing for like all the resort, you know, the resort restaurants and lobby bars and weddings, And so I started just playing cover songs because that's what the general public wants to hear, especially in those settings. And once I started doing that more, then I was like, I'm just like, I'm kind of seen by the public at this point in my life as a singer, because they hear some of my originals and they think that's a nice song, but I've never heard it. But for the most part, they're like, play the song I want, like I would know, and I want to sing along too. And so I kind of identified as a singer for a while, and then I went back to songwriter, and then I'm back in singer mode right now. And yeah, it's just kind of always a balance between the two.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of balancing in your life right now with a lot. Because you also have two little ones.
I do. I have two young kids that are almost one. They're 1 and 3 right now. So they're about to change that next year. But yeah, it's chaotic for sure.
And somehow the music happens, and more power to you. And speaking of the music happening, actually, we're going to, I think, here's some examples in a little bit, and you can share what those are about when we get to the songs. But your songs have changed throughout the years. Tell us about that.
I think before, see, I start with I think always. I'm just so like, I never want to offend. I think, okay, I need to get rid of that habit. But yes, initially they were more about kind of, in hindsight, a little bit trivial, where they're kind of about heartbreaks and kind of temporary things.
Oh,
and
that's not trivial.
It's
that's not trivial.
No. There's different degrees, right? There's like, you know, you're young and you're in love and you break up. And then there's these big things that are like fundamental in life, where it's like you lose a loved one, like you lose somebody, like they pass away. Mm. And that, so that's where it's not trivial, but there's a point where if you're 20 where it's like that is really forming to you. But then in comparison to, like, you know, losing a parent or losing a grandparent or, you know, all the different tragedy there is in the world, it's just so I think as I kind of started growing out of that, like, heartbreak songwriting phase, I started kind of being faced with themes of, like, more, I don't know how to explain it. It's, I don't want to like qualify it as more important at all, because it's everything is relative, right? Especially in terms of your experiences. But I think for my parent, for like my parents and, you know, my friends' parents, and just, you know, as we watch them get older, I started writing more on those lines of like, what's this going to look like? And then I had kids, and then I'm writing about my kids and what I hope their future is, and kind of all these new ideas that I'm wrapping my head around. So that's kind of how my writing has shifted in the last several years.
Is that what Someday is about? The future?
Someday is about always looking forward, thinking like one day it'll all kind of click, and then realizing you're in that moment, and you're always look like people are always looking ahead and trying to like make sure, like dreaming about what's to come instead of realizing you're in such a beautiful moment where you are.
Nice. Well, we get to hear it now. So here's Lisa Ritchie's song. This is pre-recorded here on the Life Changes Show, Someday.
Someday, everyone longs for someday, hoping it comes around somehow. I'm here, cupping my hands to both ears, listening to the sounds of this house. Coco is on, you're singing along to our melon. Cursing the clock, it never stops. House and baby, palm and fig, all of our children gonna see it. Soil and water, room to roam, years of all the birthdays, wishes believed our parents, the love that they leave, it goes too fast. House and baby, palm and fig, all of our children gonna see it. Soil.
Lisa Ritchie and Someday. Thank you so much. That's from the album that came out in August, right?
Yep. Landlines.
Landmine.
Landline.
Oh, landline. Okay.
Yes. Right. A callback to landlines.
Landline. Nice. So tell people where they can find you.
They can find me on Spotify, on Instagram, on really any. Just type my name in. You'll find me somewhere.
Nice. Okay. And Someday. And so, speaking of songs and covers, you did something cool during the pandemic. I think it's very cool. And actually, we have a video of you doing the Beatles in My Life. So that's a cover. And so if people go to Lisa Ritchie, R-I-T-C-H-I-E, on the Life Changes show, you'll find more information on her. You'll find all her links and you'll find that cover video. Tell us about those cover videos in that time period.
Yeah. I got a good following on Twitch and some of the online platforms, and people during the pandemic, when everything was shut down, out of the kindness of their hearts, would send me requests and then pay me for the requests. So they'd say, like, can you please do the Beatles in My Life? And they'd send me, you know, $50, whatever they wanted to, really. I was just grateful for the work to have when everything shut down. Mm. And I'd do a song for them. And some of those songs, like, did pretty well. And it was just such a nice way to stay connected to a community.
Mm. Well, now you are still doing covers. As a matter of fact, some of those covers have become part of the ones you do, and people love you doing them.
Yeah.
What do you wish for your songwriting, since you didn't want to necessarily sing them yourself? Were you seeing the songs being sung, obviously, by other people, I would imagine?
Oh, I probably worded that wrong. I did want to sing them myself.
Oh.
That's the problem. Oh. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had to become a singer.
Oh, isn't life funny?
Yes, yes.
Tell me more.
So, I feel like, I don't know if it's a pride thing or what, but I just write these songs. They're autobiographical. I want to sing them. And I wanted to fully try to go down the avenue of writing music and getting it out to the public. And I didn't really have any game plan aside from just kind of grabbing around in the dark. And what I was able to do is make a reasonable living by playing the shows, and then I just keep trying to write music and hope, you know, something gets in a movie, something gets picked up, because I do believe in the quality of what I'm writing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I'm up to these days.
Okay. Well, that makes me excited. And it's a good time to be sharing your music with the audience. So speaking of good time, what can you tell us about this next song?
This song is a little bit it, I feel like it can be taken on multiple levels of just like, if you're listening to it, it's just a fun time. If you're kind of digging down into it, there's deeper meanings going on. And I kind of like that, like those songs that you hear at first and you go, this is great. And then as you dig in deeper, you're like, wait, what's really being said here?
Wait, so, what really is being said? Because I heard it and I don't think
you'll have to think about it.
I have to hear it again. Let's hear it right now. Here is Lisa Ritchie's song, pre-recorded, Good Time, here on the Life Changes Show.
I'm in a cult and I'm waking. Freedom got in love and I'm naked with nothing to cover up and nothing to wash it down. It's an oath that I've taken since I was a kid. No one made me. Just the way it is. You're free to relax and you're free to believe. Everyone's having a good time. There's freedom to ask and you're free to agree. I don't think I can leave. Saw us on the news. I cried, no one knows the truth. So I tried to leave it to the stars, leave it to the states, leave it to the prayers that save, leave it to the blindest faith, leave it till we go insane. You're free to relax and you're free to believe. Everyone's having a good time. There's freedom to ask.
Lots of directions you could think on this one.
I heard so much more this time. Lisa Ritchie and Good Time. Well, one thing for sure, it's been a good time having you on the show.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Please remind everybody how they can find you.
Yes, Lisa Ritchie, RITCHIE, music, basically on any platform, Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, website, all of the things.
Are you still doing the cover thing online for patrons?
I'm totally open to it. Yeah, it's just cool. Kind of dropped off. Yeah, a little bit. But anyone that wants a cover, email me, message me. I can do a cover song for you, of course.
Nice. Okay. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank
you. All the best to you and your family.
Thank you so much.
And with a big thank you to Lisa Ritchie, and another big thank you to our interview guest, Sean G. Ahern. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, and our whole family here at the Life Changes Show, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.